on this first day of Advent. So we just had Thanksgiving a couple of days ago. Lord God, we want to thank you for all that you are to us. And we pray that during this time we can just share in the warmth of your Holy Spirit and in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it is the first weekend of Advent. Normally, it is the first Sunday of Advent, but we're going to be celebrating the first weekend of Advent. Advent is celebrated the four weekends leading up to Christmas. So there you go. You have four weekends until Christmas time. Now, without doubt, Starbucks and Costco and even Christina Leader have tried to make us think that Christmas had arrived earlier this year than normal. But no, indeed, this traditionally ushers in our observation of the Christmas season, of celebrating Christ's birth. So what does that mean? It means that Christmas didn't come right after Halloween. No matter what you've been seeing out in the world as far as decorations go. It also means that if you do have those nice fuzzy Christmas leggings, that you can wear them now and actually be in style and not out of step with the rest of us. I don't know if you've noticed, but some of the Christmas stations are playing Christmas music, or some of the radio stations are playing Christmas music now 24/7, so you can get all the Christmas music you want. I am not one of those who listens to Christmas music in July, so I do like to wait until right now. And we can wish everyone a Merry Christmas. The holidays are upon us. Now, it's hard to come out in the dark, isn't it? It's different to come out in the dark and come to church. It is. I get here when it's still light, those of us who set up, but getting here in the dark, I have noticed this last couple of weeks, once it gets dark at 4:30, I think it's nighttime. It's like, let me put on my pajamas, and how much longer until I get to go to bed. So I just want to say to each one of you who are here, I understand that it's different for us to get in the car and come after dark. Thank you for being here. Thank you for prioritizing church and making this a time that we get together in community and fellowship together, spend time together, and worship God together. This is a weekly experience that we get to set aside just for that reason. I also realized this week, when my brother offered to put lights on my house, why we do put lights on our house at Christmas time. I don't think I'd find my house if I didn't have lights on it, because it's so dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm already tired of it, you guys. I don't know how many of you are friends with Tara, our dear sweet Tara, who moved to Hawaii recently. And this last week on Facebook, she posted, oh, wintertime weather, 80s in the daytime, 70 at nighttime. So it's like, oh, boo-hoo. Poor Tara. She must be hot. We have about 7 more months before we get those temperatures. But I do remember when we moved in here last April, that the sun would be setting when we were here, and that everyone who sat on this side was like blinded by the sun. So we have not experienced this real, we meet at night now. So this is new, and we're going to just embrace this Advent season. It's going to be cozy. Thank you also for being here this Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that you had a great time. I know we have people who are traveling, and we will make sure and keep them in our prayers. Yeah. But I'm excited about what we're going to do at New Vision this Christmas time, this Advent season, because we will be giving outside the box. In fact, you're going to get some boxes right now. So we're going to pass out some boxes. Don't open them yet. Each of you is going to get a little box. And I will take one too, actually. Even people in the back. There's anybody up there? Nope. Thank you. Just hang on to your boxes. Okay. So all together, we're going to open our box. So go ahead and open your box. Take out what's inside of it and read what it says. Okay. So who wants to share what their little piece of paper in their box says? Okay. To give outside the box, pull your neighbor's garbage or recycling cans up from the curb. Bill? Okay, so his is to let someone go ahead of you at the coffee shop or the grocery store and do so with a smile and a wish for a good day. Anybody else want to share what they got? Anyone get anything different? Okay, so call and have a conversation with someone who you have not talked to in more than a month. Listen more than talk. Does anybody have anyone thing that's different from those? Donna? Okay, that's the same one I got. Call a cashier at a store, server at a restaurant by name, and ask how his or her day is going. Thank them for serving you. Jan? Thank you. Okay, give your spare change to someone asking for help or pay for someone's coffee who is ahead of you in line at, behind you in line at the coffee shop. Behind, ahead, left, right. I mean, you know. Okay, so every week we're going to have Give Outside the Box challenges. So these are your challenges for this week. And then next week when we come together during our testimony time, we will get to talk about doing this and what the experience was like for us and how it was received and if it was easy, if it was hard. So that's part of what we're doing in this Giving Outside the Box time of year at Advent. So what we're going to do at New Vision. So there's also some other ways to give besides your weekly Advent giving challenge. So there's going to be four of these. The other one is that you should have had a piece of paper on your chair when you came in called a reverse Advent calendar. This will start tomorrow, December 1st. It is creating a food box throughout the entire Advent season, and then taking it to the Oregon Food Bank. We're not going to collect them here. You get to take it to the Oregon Food Bank. There's an address. They're open 8 to 4:30 on weekdays, and there's a phone number. So it has you putting something in every day as you count down to Christmas, Christ's birthday. So that's another way we're going to give outside the box, because literally you're going to have to get a pretty big box. I would say next time you go to Costco, say yes when they ask if you need a box. Say, yeah, I'll take a really big one, and start filling it up with these things. And then there's another box. So we have our Advent challenge boxes. We have our reverse Advent calendar outside the box giving, which is giving to people who need food. We also have, I want to remind you of this. It's a welcome box for Every Child Oregon to put boxes together for foster kids. We had a presentation a few weeks ago about this. If you weren't here, there's more pamphlets in the back. What this is putting together a box, and everything in here is so clearly outlined for you. You decide whether you're going to do a boys' box or a girls' box and the age. They tell you what to put in them, some optional things, what not to put in them. They even tell you what size box to get. And then these go to DHS, and actually Jan and Joanne are collecting these boxes. So you do bring them here, and we had four brought last week, and I see that there's one this week. And they go to the DHS office, and they keep them in cabinets so that when kids are brought in, during the time that they're figuring out where they go, the DHS worker goes and gets one of these welcome boxes, because they have things in them like something to color, something to write with, a flashlight, a nightlight, an encouraging note, toys and games and puzzles, a water bottle, just a whole bunch of things that you can put in there to make a child's transition easier. So we have a number of boxes, don't we? We have our weekly giving challenge box. We have our reverse Advent calendar to help people who need extra food. And we have this one to help foster kids. So we're giving outside the box this holiday season at New Vision. That is our purpose. I'm excited about it. We are a benevolent community. We do give. You know, it's interesting. I did a series a few weeks ago on This Is Us, which was talking about who we are as a church. And as we connect with our Free Methodist roots, we find out that there's two main things that we focus on. Holiness, which is transforming ourselves to be more like Christ, or letting the Holy Spirit transform us to be more like Christ. The other main pillar on which this denomination stands is social justice. So these opportunities with these outside-the-box things are just really digging in to that call, and not just talking about it, but doing things about it. When I first began pastoring, I remember clearly God saying, as long as you will be the church of Jesus Christ, which means put your faith to action, I'm going to stay with you. And he has not left us. He is here with us. He is in our midst. The other thing that I would like you to consider doing, which is not as literal as giving outside the box, it's not literally a box, but it could stretch you outside your box, is if you look inside your programs, there is a list of mission trips coming up in 2020. And I left my program down at my seat, but you guys can take a look at it. There's a number of missions trips through Mission Catalyst, which is a Free Methodist missions organization that helps little churches come together and go on trips. And we've had for several years, 5 or 6 years, we've had a group go to Dominican Republic. They're going again. The cost is going to be about $1,700. I assure you that there will be people who you know on that trip, if you want to go on that trip. But there's other mission trips listed too. And you know what might happen? God might call you. God might call you to go on a mission trip in 2020, and that might just stretch you outside the box. So pray about that. Don't be afraid to pray about it and see if God wants you to do that. So that is the other thing that we are going to encourage as far as stretching outside the box. Today, though, as we officially begin the observation of Advent, we want to read from Scripture. We're going to have reading from the Old Testament, and then the hope candle. This first week of Advent represents hope. The hope candle will be lit on the Advent wreath. I want to invite Donna and Joseph to come up. They're going to read and light our Advent.
Tonight's scripture is from Isaiah chapter 9, if you care to follow along. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
It's the reading of his word. Thank you very much. So every week we will get to light a new candle on our wreath. This week, hope. We have chosen as our tagline to be a place of hope. Well, I guess it's better put that God has chosen us to be a place of hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. There is none other in whom we can hope. We can't hope in each other. We can't hope in the world. We can't hope in Christmas coming and we get the perfect present somehow and just makes our life full and peaceful and there will never be another worry. None of that hope is real. The only hope that is real is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The child that was born. The reason that we celebrate this time of year. I'm not exactly in the mood to put up Christmas decorations this year. My brother, however, when I was telling him that, said, "Don't you have grandchildren?" "Yes, I do." There is a reason to engage in the festivities of the season. But I'm hoping and I'm praying that this year we can get more in touch with the root of the why. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because the Savior of the world, the giver of our hope, was born a baby. We know this story. We can recite it. We can tell it to people. But just stop for one moment and think about how the God of the universe, the Creator, the in the beginning God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit God, chose to come and be a baby. Oh, we love babies, don't we? We love baby puppies. We love baby elephants. We love almost all babies. Not snakes. I don't love baby snakes. Some of you might really like baby snakes, though. You might even love them, and that's okay. But we like baby babies. We like human babies a lot. And Jesus came as that human baby. And he did that in order to give us hope, because without Jesus, we are hopeless. And I can truly, honestly declare that I have a hope because of Jesus Christ. My life is not perfect. I would not define it as perfect right now. I can look back on memories and say it was perfect, but then if you would have asked me, I would have said no. It's never perfect. But it's just right when we are walking in the steps of our Savior, who came to earth as a little tiny baby to give us hope. And today, we're going to be a little outside the box with the rest of our sermon time, because we're going to talk about how Jesus has given us hope. This is the end of the 11th month of the year. We have been focusing on prayer this year. We're a place of hope, but we're also people that pray. And we believe in answers to prayer. And we wrote down on pieces of paper the first week in January names of people to pray for salvation. And we have faithfully been doing that. We've been carrying our prayer rocks around with us, and we've been trying to remember to pray wherever we go. Yet we sit here tonight and we cannot deny that we're a small group. Yet, that does not negate the fact that Jesus has answered our prayers. Things are happening in the spiritual realm as a result of our prayers. And we do not give up hope. We are not like those without hope because Jesus, because we have Jesus. And so tonight, rather than waiting and holding a testimony time later, we're going to share now, here, with some testimonies. Let's start with this proclamation that we heard read in Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. In what ways has God shined light into your dark areas? Or into the areas of those you love and have been praying for this past year? Let me give you a moment to think about that. Let's look at the next verse. It's actually in the New Testament. And it says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." That's Romans 5:5. This hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. He loves us so much. How do we know that? Because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We heard a testimony moments ago about, I'm not judging anymore. Giving up judgment. That's God's place. That's God's love. Taking up more space in our heart than our own way and will and desire to judge. So I would like to ask us this question. In what ways have you experienced hope and seen God's love for you and others grow through prayer? Kind of similar to what I asked before, but this is primarily speaking about God's love. Not so much where has the darkness been invaded, but where have you seen God's love, or where have you experienced the hope that comes with God's love that grows through prayer? Well, finally, let's look at one last verse in Psalm. It says, "O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from childhood." So the last question, what has God done to increase your trust in him and your hope that he'll answer prayer? If I pose the question this way, another way to be thankful to God for the hope he gives us, what has he done to increase your trust in him and your hope that he'll answer prayer? Trust is faith, but it's more than just believing. What I would like us to do now is look at our next steps, which just have two. The first is give outside the box this week. Take those things. The second is that I would like us right now to spend some time in small group prayer, maybe groups of five, or maybe break into maybe three or four groups here. Those of you in the back who are not tied to a machine, maybe can come forward and join prayer groups. Let's pray. Let's pray with a focus on thanksgiving for all that God has provided. Let's pray for the promised hope for the future. And let's pray for continued answers to prayer. He hears us. And he is answering, even if we do not see it with our own eyes. So let's go ahead and get into prayer groups for the next 4 or 5 minutes. But I want to thank you for your presence here. I thank you that you did warm us tonight with your Holy Spirit, with reminders of how much you care, how much you love, the hope that is in abundance and unceasing. And just, God, you just want to give. And you just want people who readily receive from you. Open us up, God, and help us to be the receivers of all that you have for us. Take our offerings as a sign of our surrender, of our giving our hearts and our lives and the things that we've put our trust in that are not you. Help that giving of the offering, Lord, represent a giving of ourselves in a deeper way. And then, God, bless the offering. May your work be done and your will accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,